My topic, switching to that, is gaining wisdom from past events. I thought it might be good to start out by saying, what is wisdom? How do you define wisdom? I've heard it defined as applying knowledge. It's applied knowledge. And I'd like to test that definition. I'd like to test it by asking another question. Can a person apply knowledge without and involving wisdom? If a person works a math problem, is it really required any wisdom or just some knowledge? A person keeping their financial records, does it require, I'm talking about just keeping the records, does it require wisdom or knowledge? When I thought about that, I thought, you know, those things require knowledge, but I don't know if they require that much wisdom. Because wisdom seems to have something that goes a little further than just being able to do apply facts. It's more than just applying facts. It's applying ourselves to making right decisions, biblical decisions, and so it is not... Got a problem, Pete? A little louder, okay? Yeah, I had that trouble one other time, so if y'all aren't hearing, let me know. Wisdom involves making the correct moral decision. I have another question. Can a person have wisdom without academic knowledge? Can a person have wisdom without academic knowledge? I think they can. You can make right decisions based on common sense and things like that that don't require a lot of book knowledge. I'm presenting a perspective of wisdom that throws this whole thing back into applying God's word to our decisions. That is wisdom. That is wisdom. It's not applied knowledge. It's of making the right choice based on God's word. Just a question from example to show this. Did it require wisdom or knowledge to develop the first atomic bomb? It required knowledge. But deciding whether to drop that bomb required what? Wisdom, right? Now, society would tell us that they made a good decision, a wise decision, because in their estimation it saved lives. Although it killed millions, it saved lives because it stopped the war. I'm also pointing out then that our wisdom would look at that and say that we're not sure that that was a wise decision. So wisdom is, once again, I'm going to bring wisdom back to what the Bible is telling us to do. Wisdom, according to the world, is different than wisdom that we want. Wisdom is going further than knowledge. It's going further than what the people of the world think is wise. It is based on what the Bible says is wise. And that's the point I want to make, that applied knowledge is simply using facts to do something. Wisdom is the ability to make the right choices based on God's word. Now, wisdom, therefore, is gained through experience and not necessarily book knowledge. And I think it's best gained through experience. I think we'd all say the school of hard knocks is where we learn our most or gain our wisdom. Probably the second best, though, is through story and history. You're not actually experiencing the event, but there's a sense in which the story or the account of history, we can gain some knowledge from that as we look at what goes on. So gaining wisdom from history requires more than just learning the facts. It's applying them, and it requires us to apply them in a way that we make right decisions. That's the key right there. We make right decisions. Now, I have a question for you teachers. Do you teach wisdom using history? Do you teach history in a way that your students get wise? Have you ever read your children, students, a Bible story? One about Daniel in the lion's den. The Good Samaritan. History. Well, the last one I said was a parable, but those things teach wisdom. Simply by reading those stories, you're teaching wisdom from history. Because those character traits that come out of those biblical characters and we'll read those stories are absorbed by the student or the child and become wisdom that develops their character. Teaching history in a way that people can gain wisdom does not require some in-depth study, some history whiz. Any of us can do it. Parents do it when they read that story of Daniel in the lion's den 50 times with that child and they want it read again. And you read that and it becomes part of that child's worldview. They've just absorbed it. It's a wonderful way to teach wisdom through story and history. Simply reading stories will teach history in a way that gives wisdom. The reality is we teach history even when we don't, we teach wisdom when we don't even realize it when we teach history. And I'm going to propose that when we're teaching wisdom to younger students from history, it basically should be in reading stories. They can be Bible stories, our ancestors, what they went through, accounts of people displaying biblical wisdom. And when we do that, we can teach wisdom to our younger children. I think it's okay to ask them some questions that, you know, accent what the story was about. But I really believe that that characteristic that we want, that wisdom we want to implant in them, will be naturally absorbed as they hear that story. Now, there's also another part of history, and that is when it doesn't turn out well. And we have men making bad decisions, and the results are bad, or not what they want. And so in this case, it takes a little more analyzing of the story or the event in history to get the lesson out of it. Because if you just take the story or the event, it possibly could teach a negative characteristic that we don't want to teach. And in those cases, then we as teachers can use that negative story and help students work through it to see where the mistake was made and help them process history and still learn from a negative event. We can help them process that this is a way of gaining wisdom about what you don't want to do. And it requires then, I think, some processing. It doesn't just a student could possibly take those stories the wrong way. And so that's why I'm saying we need to teach from those and turn that event into something where it says this is what you don't want to do. Now, there's also a situation where history in the eyes of the world turned out well. The decision made was wise in the eyes of the world. But in the eyes of us as Christians, the decision made was not wise. And to give you an example, I think the best way to look at when we take up Christ and we're going to live the Sermon on the Mount, there are lots of decisions that we need to make to live that, to be a disciple of Christ, that the world is not going to think is wise. And so when we encounter those stories, those events in history, and the child is grappling with what what the world is saying is wise, and what we want them to take out of it is wise, we have our work cut out for us. We have to work with those. Now, I think a student that's in junior high can work through those, whether it's a negative event that you can teach that they should have done this. But when you get in a situation where it turned out well, and the world would say it was a wise decision, and you're saying, whoa, this was not a wise decision because it went against God's word, then we as teachers have our work cut out for us. Because we need to teach that there is a point in which God's revealed word takes precedent over what the world thinks is wisdom. And now we're reaching a level of teaching from history that's going to challenge us. But we need to get there with older students. We need to get there because they are going to encounter those things in their life. Those type of decisions are confront them. Just one that pops up, you know, non-resistance. That is one that really challenges young people. When they look at what the world would say is wise and what Christ says is wise. And I don't have the time to go into discussing how you turn those events into history, into the wisdom of God, but we need to do it. So we have three levels of teaching from history. We have the element of stories that turn out well, that illustrate exactly what characteristic we want to implant in the child. And they're the easy ones, and they're the ones I think we should focus on the younger children. Then there are those stories and events from history that show wrong actions, but they turned out wrong. And so we can analyze and help students see where the wrong decision was made and learn from gain wisdom. And then there's the last one that I just mentioned, where in the world, eyes of the world, everything turned out great. The man was great. And so that's where we have to turn the world upside down like Christ did and say, no, that is not wisdom. What you saw there was not wisdom. Am I making sense? Have any questions at this point? So when teaching history to older students, I consider Proverbs 28:18, the first part of it, where there's no vision, the people perish. And I like to say that there's three types of vision involved in this. And I see the one is seeing the past. This is where you're looking at history. You need to be able to look back and see the past. You have a vision that sees the past. And you look at what happened, and everybody knows that, you know, hindsight is 20/20. I guess that works down here in Mexico to say that. 20/20 means when you look back, you can always see what you should have done. And so determining what went wrong with that, we can often do it. We can look back at history and say, this is what went wrong. This is the decision they made wrong. But that's only one element of having vision. The other element of having vision is being able to look at the present situation and saying, this is what I see now. This is what is happening now. How does it compare with back here? So you're seeing the past, you're seeing the present. These are two steps you need to go through. And then the third step is the one we always think about, a vision, is looking ahead. But I'm saying you need to do these two earlier ones. Then you apply that and say, these are the decisions I need to make to get to my goal out here. These are the decisions that you as students need to make to develop the godly character that you need. So I work from that premise that there's three types of vision involved in Proverbs 28. Looking back at the past and analyzing it. Analyzing the present in relation to the past. Then based on that, becoming wise to make decisions to move into the future. If we can look at past history events and take them through that process, then we can gain wisdom. We can gain wisdom. Now, there's two quotes that I've come across in my researching this. Both of them I had heard before. One of them says that those who cannot remember history are condemned to repeat it. George Santayana. Those who cannot remember history are condemned to repeat it. So that means that we need to study history. Because if we don't study history, like Pete said earlier, we will repeat the same mistakes. That's why it is important to teach history. It's also why it's important to teach history in a way that we can gain wisdom from it. So how do we do that? We have to, if we're going to remember it, we need to read it, we need to record it, and we need to study it. These three things will help preserve history so that we don't lose it. For us, we study secular history, and I think that's good. We can see the mistakes that men have made. We also have to study the history of our own people's past, church history. And I don't know how well that goes in this area, but for some reason I struggle getting students interested in any kind of history, particularly church history. But it is important because you can see the bad decisions that were made and how subtle things, I tell students that even things that were right decisions in the beginning got perverted through the years, got off track. Things that led the Catholic Church off were in the beginning decisions that were good, but they took them too far. We've got to look at history to see what they did to get where they are and compare it with our present situation and see if we're headed the wrong way. So we need to study, we need to record. And another one that I think is important is tradition. Traditions are formed by our history. And traditions preserve our history. Tradition is not a word that teenagers like. Tradition is a word that many adults don't like. But tradition is important in preserving our history. Traditions were often started in a way of preventing problems. But I will say this, I want to make it clear, our salvation is not in traditions. Traditions can be get perverted, just like I mentioned the Catholic Church. There needs to be a live tradition that stays pertinent. And so in studying history, I think an appreciation for tradition needs to be taught so that because it preserves our history. Tradition preserves our history. And through these traditions, then we can gain wisdom. Now, the second quote is that the only thing we learn from history is that we do not learn from history. Is this true? Sad to say, it's too often true. It's too often true that we don't learn from history. And so I asked myself the question, why do we keep repeating history? I really don't think it's because of the first quote that we forget it or we don't remember it. I think that we don't learn from history because we look at it and we say, we're too smart to make that mistake again. We're not going to go down the same trail. We don't believe it's going to happen to us. And so what does happen? We follow the same trail, we're going to end up at the same place, even if we want to think we're smarter. Too often the desire to do something overrides our common sense. And we think we're smart enough that the same thing that happened in the past is not going to happen to me. I'm too smart for that. And so we do repeat history. We do not learn from it, we repeat it. And because of what I see is saying that does happen. I think when we teach wisdom from history, that quote needs to be part of what we teach. That too often we don't learn from history. We don't learn from history. We repeat it. We need to recognize the truth of that statement. It happens time and time again. I'll just give an example. A life of ease and prosperity leads people away from God. My history has examples of it. Your history, I'm sure, has examples of it, just like mine, over the years. The Bible has many examples of it. Are we going to repeat it again? Do we think it won't happen to us, that we can handle prosperity? Don't be too confident in these things. That's just one example that time and time again, men have repeated that prosperity leads us away from God. And so what we need to do is we need to, if we're going to gain wisdom from history, we have to make a determined decision that we're going to make hard choices that we don't repeat history. We're going to have to make those choices that we saw the mistake they made, we see the same thing happening today, and so I'm going to make the decision to go opposite of what they did so that I don't end up where they did, so that when I get out here, I'm not at the same place. History repeats itself too often. And so studying and gaining wisdom requires us to be honest with ourselves, that we are human, and that we will face the same struggles, often make the same decisions, and when we do, we will end up at the same place as they did in history. It's scary. It's scary how that works. And another scary thing about teaching history is how often we teach our students to make wrong decisions, or we don't teach them true wisdom because we're using possibly textbooks that promote great men from society, and they hold them up as making wise decisions. And our students are not old enough to make the discerning factor that this person was glorified in the secular setting, but he will not be glorified in the kingdom of God. And so when we read these stories or have these history books that promote these individuals of history as great people, and they did not live godly lives, we are teaching unknowingly the type of characteristics we don't want our students to have. And this is not a sales pitch that you need to use CLE textbooks, but I don't know what you all use here, but it scares me when I go into schools and see them using textbooks by even Christian publishers, but they're Protestant or Catholic or something like that, are going to promote men as examples of good character, and our students are going to absorb that. And you may think you're going to offset it, but it's subtle, and it's here and there. And we as teachers, I don't think, can offset all of that. If we're going to gain wisdom from history, we need to use sources that are promoting the characteristics we want in our students. So there's two scary things in gaining wisdom from history. One is the fact that we look at it and we see it and we think we're too smart to do the same thing, and so we end up repeating it. We see it time and time again. And the other is the subtle things that we teach without knowing it. So as teachers, we need to be aware of that. It takes a conscious effort to promote the biblical characters we want in our students. And it's easy with the younger ones. You have many Bible stories that you can read, or accounts of Anabaptists or Russian Mennonites, the experience they went through. And those characteristics of standing up against evil or persecution, that instill in those young students what we want them to do, or what they need to do. Those type stories are great, but as students get older and they get more experience with secular or other sources of promoting people and characteristics that are not godly, they start absorbing that too. So, I'm not trying to make you quit your job, but I want you to take your job serious, because teaching, particularly your older ones, is a challenge. I've done it for 29 years with teenagers, and it gets rather complex sometimes defending the faith when they're reading some of these things that present these characteristics that we don't want. I want to encourage you. Teachers have a very unique place in a student's life that can greatly enhance the kingdom of God, helping that student find the kingdom of God in how you relate to them and how you, the stories you tell them, the history you relate to them. So I want to encourage you to stay in there, take these young people, these children, and make them children of God. Thank you.